Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We were blessed to start last week from Terrorize Bible City, Tell It Well, and we started in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit came. Yay. And it was just a great storying. It's exciting. She just makes it come alive.
I hope so. We need to learn how to communicate the Word of God, don't we?
Yes, but it's so true, the power that comes with the Holy Spirit.
And I had just told Sabrina in our break that the awesome thing that, I'm having a hard time pulling my brain together when I was telling the story on Acts 2. You need to go back and listen to it, because for the radio, we're working on Acts 2. But on Monday, I was teaching Acts 3 at MP Dodge and Open Door Mission. On Sunday, I am teaching on Acts 8, and I'm currently writing on Acts 9. And what happens is that if you consistently read through and study and seek to tell through Acts, they tell the same thing, but they package it different every time they tell it. The message always stays the same, but the packaging changes. And it's amazing to watch how God changes the packaging in order to meet the need of the people group that the disciples are addressing.
But that's so us.
Isn't it?
It's just like having different translations.
Yeah.
Because the way I read and understand is different than how you definitely.
Yeah. You know, and it's important that we understand that, because how a group of people will respond will be determined based on their life circumstances, mm-hmm. and different things. And so we will say the same thing, but we will use a different package in order to communicate it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I remember when I first graduated from seminary, I felt like I had to do the package the same always. I don't know why. I don't think that I had a single professor tell me that way. I don't think anybody communicated that to me. But in my limited ability at that time, that is how I reacted as a young 20-something-year-old. And it was a major life lesson when my husband and I went to go help start a mission church. And I went in with this idea that the package had to be the same as I was taught.
Mm.
And God, I think, took me and placed me strategically in a church plant for the sole purpose of tearing down my idea of a package and to remind me that it's just the message. From there, He's going to change, mm-hmm. with each person, each circumstance, each group that comes through. So I may have had a group of kids 1 year, because I was the minister to children and family life, that came through, and I could teach them the Bible stories a certain way. But the very next year, I would have a different group of kids, and the dynamics, mm-hmm. within this group would be so different that if I used the same method I used the year before, I would never connect to their heart. And I had to learn to adjust based on the group of kids. And it became most evident to me one fall, and that I decided to do something totally different, and instead of doing Vacation Bible School in the summer, I decided to do 3 Vacation Bible Schools during the fall to see what would happen. And so we did like a series of Saturdays, a series of weeknights, 3 different times, just to see what would happen. And we had a greater response than we actually had during our summer time.
Hmm.
And the reason is as a church plant, we reached out more to people that were more non-traditional in their approach to church, versus if we were a more established church, I think we would have reached probably more traditional, which would be like a typical everyday 9 to noon Vacation Bible School. And it really taught me a lesson about it's the message, it's not the package, it's not the method, making sure that, you know, I keep focus on the message. And that's what we're going to see as we unfold into Acts. Peter, this is his first sermon, and the first thing that we learned from him is that God keeps his promises. And then we ended last week looking at what the word filled means, and it comes from the Greek word pimplemi, and it means to be complete, to be ended, to be full. And the Message translation, Eugene Peterson has a way of communicating things so profoundly. And he describes the Holy Spirit's filling as a diffusion, a diffuser. And when I taught this 6 months ago at Westside in our women's Bible study, I brought into our group a whole bunch of little bottles, like three of them with the oil and the diffuser reeds. Have you ever seen those?
Yes, I love those. The smells.
Do you have one?
I don't have one.
Oh, that's funny. I can't believe you don't have one. I bought three and I put them in our classroom about 2 hours before the group began. And the room, it's not a large room that we're in. We can seat 30-something people comfortably. But I put one in the front, one in the middle, and one in the back. And every single person that walked in that room that day, they would sniff. Mm-hmm. Something's different. They didn't realize I had put those. They go, this classroom smells good today. And it was the diffusion, because what happens with a diffuser is you take the reed and you stick that reed down into the oil. Mm-hmm. As the oil begins to become absorbed into the reed, I'm sitting here using my hands like you can see this on the radio, right? Sabrina's watching what I'm doing with my hand movement. It absorbs up into the reed. And as it gets into the reed then becomes saturated with the oil. And at the point of saturation is when the reed begins to make its most fragrant offering of the scent.
Hmm.
The Holy Spirit came and he fell down upon them and his power just saturated the disciples that day. I mean, it permeated them so much so that literally in their language, they spoke other languages. I can't even imagine the amazingness of that. And to be able to be a witness of such an overflowing of the Holy Spirit that 16 nations at that time, it was all languages of the people groups were present at Pentecost. And you have to understand the reason why that is that people were required to go back to the home of their ancestors when they would have special events. And they were there for that feast. And so what a better opportunity for God to bring about a diffusion of the gospel of what Jesus came to do and to teach than when the people were fully gathered in the city that he has where his people are at that have the gospel. Mm. Huge time.
And then it's such, like you said, God is such a God of order. He knows specifically that he wanted to speak to them in their own language because it meant something to them personally, intimately, rather than just coming in having everyone just understand what he said. He spoke to them intimately in their, it just amazes me.
I love that. And you know, and I love that you chose the word intimate, Sabrina. Because it shows that God wants to be real mm-hmm. with us. And as we look at that, I have a question for you. I want you to think about it. What was the response of the people present to the power of the Holy Spirit revealed? We had two types of reaction.
Utterly amazed.
There were those that were utterly amazed. And what was the question they asked?
And then, well, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans?
Yeah, they were thinking, these are unschooled, ordinary men. What's up with that? Okay, and then what else did they do?
And then there was another group amazed and perplexed. And they asked, what does this mean?
Okay, and then
I don't know if that's what you were...
It's the same. Okay. And then there's a group that follows them, and they accuse them of something. What do they accuse them of?
Being drunk.
Okay, so essentially we have amazed, perplexed, and accusation, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it is every time we see a movement of God, we can guarantee that we're going to see what?
Perplexed people,
amazed,
and definite accusations.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, here it is right here. And what I want us to think about is the way I study the Bible is I ask a lot of questions mm-hmm. and then I research to answer the questions. And I started asking God, why the Holy Spirit? Why now? Okay. Why the Holy Spirit? And why now? All right. One, we have to understand, and I think we covered this very well last month, but to catch somebody up in case they're coming in, the Holy Spirit could not come until Jesus left. Because as long as Jesus was here, the Holy Spirit was contained. But once he left this earth, the Holy Spirit was then able to be unleashed, to be made available to all people.
Right.
When the Holy Spirit comes, he has a responsibility to do certain things. The Holy Spirit, what we're going to find, that if it is a movement of the Holy Spirit, there is something that we can watch that will be a consistency in the pattern of what is provided for us in Scripture. And I have found this to be the most helpful thing, because when somebody does question, you know, okay, are they drunk? How do I know? The question is, how do I know it really is a movement right. of the Holy Spirit? Right. The first and foremost is that he is going to declare God's wonders. Okay? It's going to reveal something about God that would not have been made known. Okay? It will affirm the work of God. It will, the Holy Spirit will guide us in all truth of what is happening in the kingdom of God. Okay? He will guide us in God's truth. Okay, Jesus came to do the will of the Father. The Holy Spirit will also affirm the will of the Father. It will never, ever, 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 ever counter that.
Okay.
And what happens is that he speaks of God, and he speaks of God's mighty works, and then the proclamation goes out, and that's what draws the people in. That is why the Holy Spirit was sent at this time. Because he gave of God's wonders, and he used it in speaking to the disciples. Now, one of the things I don't know the answer to, there was huge debate when I did my research, is the question a lot of commentators will address is, did the Holy Spirit only fall on the 12, or did he fall on the 120? And I could not figure it out based on what I read in Scripture, so I read what commentators had to say. And there's a big debate as to whether or not he fell on the 12 or the 120. And what I ended up coming to the conclusion is God is God. And if he came on the 12 and used the 12 to miraculously speak in 16 different languages, he completed the work he wanted to do. If he fell upon the 120 that were the disciples at the time that Christ ascended, and they all spoke and the language of the 16 nations represented, he completed the work that he wanted to do. I honestly don't think that that particular debate is so important, because it didn't matter either way, whether it was 12 or 120, God did what God wanted to do.
Right.
And so I think sometimes we get caught up in a debate, and I wanted to bring that up in case someone was a part of that and asking that question, because that's a common question that's asked, you know, is which people did it fall upon? And as Peter was talking to them, he was showing to them and revealing to them not just that God keeps his promises, but he was showing that the prophecies that were spoken, that they had learned in oral tradition, were fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really key, because anyone who was there that was a Jew among Jews, by age 10, they would be able to orally speak the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, orally.
That's the Torah.
Yeah. If by the age of 13, they would have it memorized.
They could have all five books.
Yeah.
Leviticus.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. That's pretty impressive. That crazy? I mean, it blows
my
mind.
Is that still today?
I don't know if it is or not
okay.
to that. I know that, yes, that they do have to, when they have their feast and they declare, they will have their youngest son stand up and tell. Now, I don't know if it's a point of memorization anymore. I don't know. I'm going to have to ask, because I have asked people. And I teased my neighbor. She's Jewish. And I told her, because on YouTube, I have posted me storing the Bible. And so I sent to her the portion of the Old Testament that I storied and told her, I said, I know, Devra, but that you guys have this by age 10 and I'm, what, 42 and just now getting it, but I thought you might enjoy listening. But they do have where they learn the oral, and it's by 10, the memorization 13. That was what was required in Jesus's day.
It can never be taken away.
And it can't.
Memorization.
It can't, but neither can the telling. And the key is that when we were doing this at Westside in our women's group, some of the women were saying that they are better at memorization, and some of the women were saying they were better at the telling. And we were having a dialogue, which is it wrong that we want to tell, not do the memorization? Do we have any less value in that? And my answer was no, and here's why. 75% of the Bible is in narrative. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until, and I hope I'm remembering right, I think in the 1500s that they actually put book, chapter, and verse, but I may be wrong on that. I'm going to have to go back. My brain's not quite sure if that's right. And so it wasn't until a long time after it was documented that they actually added book, chapter, verse. Book, chapter, verse was added for us for the purpose of helping us to become organized as we study the Bible. When they would tell the Bible, they would tell it in their own words. And that is the reason why when you read in Acts, Peter telling the story of Christ, of what he came to do and to teach, he tells the same thing, but he tells it differently every time.
Hmm.
Okay.
Just like Matthew, Luke, and John, the Gospels.
It's going to be in their own words. Now, so what I did to help the women better understand that, okay, 75% of the Bible is in narrative. So only 25% is the poetry, whatever, mm-hmm. you know, other forms of writing. If someone were to die today and go to heaven, and they told the Lord that the reason why they believed that they could come to heaven was because their neighbor Sabrina had told them the story of how Jesus came to this earth, God's not going to look at them and fold his arms across the chest and say, "Did she give you book, chapter, and verse?" He's not, mm-mm. is he?
No.
Now, I am not in any way negating Bible memorization because it's key and mm-hmm. it's important and it's crucial. But I think what happens is that we have gotten so, God forgive us, legalistic that it has caused 75% of the world's population to freeze when it comes to communicating the Word of God because they think that if they don't have it memorized book, chapter, and verse, then they can't speak about it.
And that is so true.
75% of the world's population prefers to learn through stories. So 75% of the world's population would prefer to be able to communicate it in a story rather than book, chapter, verse, and memorization.
Well, think of when you're in a group with the women or just out to lunch with your friend or you're speaking with your husband, just the stories of your day.
Right.
That is where the heart connects, not,
right.
Let me read you the newspaper today, honey.
Yeah, you know? Because a story connects with your heart. Yeah. And that's this particular passage of the Holy Spirit coming is powerful.
Yes.
And we want you to come back next week so that you can hear about when Peter makes his proclamation about the prophecy, what we need to focus in on. God bless.